This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, the last time, I think the last time is a different thing. The last time was a predetermined. He was on 5 days for the first time. He was throwing five innings. But in my mind, watching him today, like, his stuff was still good. He was still sharp. You know, he walked, I think it was Hoskins before that, got out of his delivery a little bit. So, a little bit was like, all right, here we go. Let's see. And, you know, he stepped up and did it. But I think more importantly, it was because the stuff was still really good.
Yeah, the stuff was still really good. It was really good when they pulled him after 59 pitches against the Mets, too. Joining us now to discuss Jared Jones, the Pirates, among other things, is Pittsburgh Post-Gazette columnist Jason Mackey, and he's with us right now on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Before we get into the pure domination of Jared Jones, Jason, and thank you for joining us today, did it make sense what Derek Shelton said there? Like, does it make sense that he throws 59 pitches one start and 91 the next?
No, it doesn't. At least not in Derek Shelton's explanation. You said the stuff is still good. You're sort of inferring that the stuff the last time out wasn't good. It was tremendous. And you got a little too eager with the hook. And I think it's also possible that they just learned a lesson, that they did that wrong. Now, I wish they would come out and say, we did that wrong. We should have and would have left Jared Jones in there a little bit longer. But no, they did the right thing last night. It was a tough situation for Jared Jones. They let him in there. You know, Bryce Perkins, I believe, was the hitter. Bases loaded. I was looking. I'm watching Shelton. I'm watching the bullpen. I'm thinking what they're going to do. And you know what? Let him pitch through that stuff, man. I hate pulling the kid after 59 pitches. And also, I think it just sends the completely wrong message to everybody else in the clubhouse. What they did last night sent the right message. So, no, I don't completely understand Shelton's explanation, but I do understand operating differently, and I'm glad they did.
Jason, with what Cruz did yesterday bouncing back, do you think it was just like a vote of confidence from Shelton and Charrington to say that we're going to stick with this guy and work through it? And, you know, there's been some discussion. Even Crowley's brought it up of maybe after a while, after 10 days, sending him back down to AAA. Do you think it was really just a confidence thing and his manager showing the confidence in him to go out there and do what he did yesterday?
Yeah, I think that probably meant something. And not only yesterday, Dorn, but just sticking with him, period. I don't agree with sending Cruz down to AAA. I understand why somebody might say that to get him on his feet or whatever. I being around Cruz, I just don't think that would be received terribly well. They're giving him the opportunity to work through what he's working through. And he obviously has not been good. Too many strikeouts, all that stuff. And Shelton and Charrington have said, we're keeping you in there. Doesn't matter. You need to play. And I do think for a baseball player, for certain baseball players, that it does mean a lot. And we saw it just a completely different demeanor out of O'Neill Cruz. I was in the clubhouse post game, observing O'Neill's smile, body language. That stuff has not been there, man. It really hasn't. Like, this kid's just been grinding the bat, or, you know, squeezing the bat so tight. And last night he's laughing. You know, Rowdy Tellez is walking around the clubhouse, kind of screwing with him, looking at him funny, and Cruz is giggling. Like, this is the version of O'Neill Cruz we need to see. And what I also liked is just his approach at the plate, actually swinging, you know, maybe overswing at times, but being more aggressive.
As for Jared Jones, I mean, this is historic stuff from him through five starts. I mean, you go back to 1893 when Grover Cleveland was president, Jason, and only five times since then has somebody struck out seven-plus guys in their first five major league starts. The question is, I guess, are they going to let him keep doing it all year long? And do you like my idea of, if you're going to try to be careful with him, if you're trying to be careful with a guy like Paul Skeens, maybe you go to a six-man rotation so these guys can go deeper into games but also get that extra rest built in?
I don't disagree with you, Adam. I'm guessing your sixth would be Paul.
Yes.
And right.
Then, I mean, Priester, I don't know that I want him – I don't know that I want him taking a regular turn in the rotation. Like, I would rather it be Marco Gonzalez, but you got what you got.
Yeah, and I mean, Marco Gonzalez is nowhere near healthy right now. That's the only concern I have about a six-man rotation. Like, who's the six? If you can give me six competent starters, I don't like it, because I agree with you on Jared Jones, and that's kind of the elephant in the room right now, and I don't want to go there because it's just so darn fun watching him pitch. But, I mean, he's going to have an innings limit. I think he threw 120-ish last year. I mean, they're not going to go past 140, 150. So he's not going to go wire to wire and make 32 starts. He's just not, even if they're short. So I would hate to lose him later in the year. If you go six man, I do wonder, you know, in this era of Major League Baseball, and sometimes it feels like teams are just throwing stuff against the wall and hoping it sticks, why there hasn't been more of a six-man rotation approach and sort of spread that stuff out.
Well,
so, yeah,
real quick on that, Jason, not to cut you off here or cut you off, Doran, but I think that Rob Manfred, there's been some things that make baseball fans go, eh, but he's done a lot to help the game. We all know that pitching injuries are a big deal. I would love for rosters to get bumped up to 27 men, and then you could have maybe an extra starter for teams.
Yeah, I've also heard the inverse, Adam, and I don't know how I feel. I'm not presenting one as, you know, that it has to be this way or it has to be that way. But you have so many pitchers, and they're so eager to not actually let guys pitch. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but, you know, there's a movement in baseball where they want to tie the pitcher to the DH spot. The longer the starting pitcher goes, the longer you can keep your DH, sort of an incentive to do that. And I think the byproduct is not having guys throw 99, 100 if they're not capable of doing that. They want to actually settle in and pitch. So I don't know. I worry that another roster spot might do that, but if I'm managing a team, I'm legitimately considering what you're talking about. Do I go with the six-man rotation and try to spread my starts out, especially if I have young guys?
Jason, you were at the Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan press conference yesterday. What are your main takeaways from what they said?
That they're going to make a draft pick on Thursday, make more on Friday, make a couple on Saturday. I don't know, man. I was glad to go. I was glad to hear. My main takeaway might be that Mike Tomlin realizes everybody's watching him at pro days and then just goes another direction. Like that reporters do that. Reporters ask like bluff questions and go to people because they know the group is following them. I just thought that was fascinating. But, you know, they said that they liked every position group. They said that they liked, you know, what they're going to be able to get in the draft. Like, I've never heard one of those press conferences where a general manager and a coach say they don't like what they have available to them. I just, you know, I'm still in the camp of drafting an offensive lineman, likely a center. I heard you guys yesterday. I think Doran might disagree with that take, and that's okay. But
thanks for listening.
Yeah, of course, always. They're gonna be able to get quality players. I certainly believe that in the first couple of rounds. I think they need to get impact players, but they certainly didn't tell us about them yesterday.
I don't feel like Mike Tomlin was either A, truthful, or B, correct when he said that they were able basically to fill a bunch of holes in free agency. I mean, they had an impactful free agency.
They filled some.
They sure did.
They filled some.
I mean, and the most important one, no doubt about that, in quarterback, and you spend more money on a guy like Patrick Queen than you ever have in free agency. I'm not going to totally disagree that they didn't help the club. I think they helped the club a lot. But I look at this team and I still think, Yeah, they got four distinct holes and maybe five if you include defensive linemen in there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I sort of wrote this for today that what they did in free agency sets up the draft that much more for me because it sort of it trains the focus on where they need to plug, where they need guys. We can sit here and argue about, you know, a tackle's a priority, a center's a priority, defensive line's a priority, corner, receiver. The answer is probably all of the above. It's just how you rank them. And I think that's what free agency accomplished. Like you're not looking at this and say, oh my gosh, there's, you know, 9-10 things. They're never going to be able to address all of these needs. I do think their needs are addressable. It's just a matter of which route you want to go, how the draft board breaks, what's available to them. And I understand different ways of thinking. I just, to me, the number one priority is the offensive line. I think there are more holes there than other places on the roster. And I think there's a really great opportunity for them to do that. I think they've sort of told us that with some of the top 30 visits. That's another thing Tomlin talked about. He said, I think you guys are kind of overcooking the top 30 angle, but I'm not sure we are. I mean, that's one of the few kernels that we get, you know, covering the team, being around the team, seeing what they're interested in.
Jason, I know there's only been one game played and the second game will be tonight, but from what you've seen in the first game, do you think that the Penguins would have given a better fight than the Washington Capitals against the Rangers?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I, you know, watching some of that as much as I could in and around the Pirates game last night, the Penguins, this is hard to articulate because they deserve to be there, but they don't deserve to be there. Right? Like the way they were playing at the end of the year, I think they would have absolutely done some damage. I think they so far, you know, their style of play, what role they were on fits in this. At the same time, I look at what happened the previous 5 months and, well, they don't deserve to be there because they frittered away far too much and had dry spells that are inexcusable and the power play was non-functional until it got Michael Bunting and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a Penguins fan, I completely understand watching this stuff and thinking, like, they could be there. They could absolutely be there.
I've had a lot of practice, Jason, at changing things in my mind so that it hurts less. Like 13-9, for example.
Wasn't that being a Pittsburgh sports
fan?
That's
exactly
right,
man. Like, I think about the national championship in 2007. Ah, West Virginia would have got crushed. So the Pitt loss, it doesn't mean anything. Oh, the Penguins would have got swept by the Rangers. But I do happen to agree. Washington sucks. They can't score goals.
No, they're not good.
Oh,
no.
It's painful to watch those guys. They're going to play 4 or 5 games in this series, and however many games they play, they're going to score fewer goals than games played. It's just...
You know what, Adam? You know why that's so infuriating to me, too? Because you've wasted a great year from Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Carlson. Like, all of that's there. All of that's there because you either couldn't get goaltending at key moments. For some darn reason, I still can't figure it out. The power play can't score. Like, you don't have enough depth scoring. You didn't allow young guys to contribute enough. We can go down the list, but like the guts of the Penguins team is absolutely good enough. And when people want Kyle Dubas to blow it up or whatever, that's one reason why I tend to push back on it. You don't need to blow it up. You're there, but you need to do a better job in the margins of creating a winning hockey team.
They need to pivot. That's what he said. And I agree with
pivot.
That. Pivot from Friends. All right. Thank you, Jason, for your time as always, man. Good stuff.
Thank you, guys.
Take
talk
it easy.
Soon.
That's Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette. Pivot!
Pivot!
Pivot! I love that show. I do. I get crap for it. That's one of my all-time. That is probably my all-time favorite show.
I've never seen one episode.
What?
Never.
I go Friends, The
what?
Office, Veep. Yeah. Seinfeld.
Friends is your
Curb.
Number one.
There's such a comfort factor there for me, man. I used to just watch it growing up. I saw the finale live with my parents. I probably shouldn't have been watching it at that age. Because there's sex and stuff. But not that they showed it on camera, unfortunately. I love that show. And it's still to this day, I'll put on The Office or Friends when I'm falling asleep because I already know what's going to happen. It's just a comfort for me. What's your number one comfort show of all time?
Like comfort?
Ooh. Like if you're going to put something on that you don't really need to watch, but you just want something on, what would that be?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad for comfort?
Yeah.
When I watch Breaking Bad, I got to put on like a beater because I know I'm going to be sweating.
But I already know what's going to happen.
That's true. That's true.
It's comforting.
That's one. I think Friends season finale, series
maybe
finale.
Maybe Fresh Prince.
That's a good one too. Yeah. That would always be on at Nick at Night, falling asleep. That's a great show. Yeah. Friends had a great series finale. Seinfeld sucked. Sopranos sucked. Breaking Bad, though, outstanding. Did you see the Breaking Bad movie?
Oh, yeah.
Not that good.
No.
But it was okay. Better Call Saul?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
Oh, if you like Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul is probably just slightly underneath it.
Is there enough Breaking Bad energy?
Yes.
In it? Okay.
Oh, my God.
So
yeah.
It fits the universe?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I mean, like, insanely.
Text us your comfort shows, 412-928-9370. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We will talk Penguins a little bit with Tyler Kennedy. This might be his final appearance of the season. We'll see. We'll talk to TK coming up at 8:35. But up next, Jason talked about it, the top 30 visits for the Steelers. I feel like we know who they're going to draft. Like, if we pick from a select group, I definitely feel like we know who they're not going to draft. We'll talk about that. We'll also hear Tomlin on George Pickens coming up next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Extremely important. You know, the more access you can get to know these players, and some players you might have medical issues or other questions, and to have the opportunity to bring them in and sit down with the coaches and understand how they would fit for us, how we would fit for them if we do business with them. But it's extremely important.
There you go. That's Omar Khan talking about pre-draft visitors at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. We're going to be joined by Tyler Kennedy coming up at 8:35 to put a bow on this Penguins season. But mostly draft all morning long and all week long. You can narrow it down to who they're going to pick, man. You really can. So they have those 30 pre-draft visitors, and you start comparing those visitors to mock drafts and those visitors to big boards, and you start to piece together, all right, who are the first-round guys, who are the second-round guys, who are the day-three guys. And among guys who are going to be first-day guys, first-round guys, or, you know, borderline second-round guys, here are the dudes who came in to visit. Jackson Powers Johnson, center, Oregon. Zach Frazier, center, West Virginia. Graham Barton, center, or other offensive line from Duke. Tyler Guyton, the tackle from Oklahoma. Amarius Mims, the tackle from Georgia. Troy Fatanu from Washington. Or Talis Fuagua, whose name I will say wrong every single time. I hope the Steelers don't draft him. Those are the guys that profile really as first-round picks or first- or second-round picks that they've had in. You don't have the wide receiver at LSU. He's not on the list. I have a hard time thinking that it'll be someone other than one of those guys that is the day one pick for the Steelers.
Were all the guys that were drafted last year, did they take visits?
Top four picks were all visitors. It's not always that cut and dry.
No.
But we've only got one draft to look at for Omar Khan and Andy Weidel calling the shots here. So it's not like, hey, look, he's going to take some of the philosophies from Kevin Colbert. Omar Khan is. He's going to operate different in some respects, however. But that, to me, just based off one draft and based on what he said just there, feels like that's something that they're going to keep doing.
I have a feeling that they're going to go opposite. Just based off of, not based off of the press conference yesterday, just based off of feel. I have a feel like, you know, Mike Tomlin loves this game. And if he has his hand, and Andy Weidel's really going to, you know, be the front runner for the draft. And then it's going to be Omar, and then Mike Tomlin will oversee what picks and what, you know, what guys can fit well. But I feel like the philosophy of Mike Tomlin saying that he sometimes goes to these pro days and is talking to somebody to throw people off and so people don't understand and not on the same page of what he's doing, I feel like this is one of those situations. I just have a strong feeling it's going to be somebody that didn't even wasn't even on other people's radar to go to the Steelers and didn't take a visit because they already know what they need to know out of them. That's what the visits are about. Just getting that extra info.
Sometimes the medical, sometimes you just want to run a guy through. I'm trying to make sure I didn't miss anybody. I'm looking at Steelers Depot, and I know that they've done this on the Post-Gazette as well, where they've kept a nice log of all of the guys that did come in and visit. I mean, there's some wide receivers too. Lad McConkey is a guy that you like. A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Luke McCaffrey out of Rice, who I think profiles as more of a third or later guy. Malachi Corley, my dude. The receivers they've looked at are not probably going to be first-round receivers. Mm-hmm. The offensive linemen they've looked at are all going to be first-ish round offensive linemen. What's interesting, though, is you don't see J.C. Latham here, and that's a guy that Caboli has them trading up for. I saw two mock drafts, apart from Caboli's, where they're trading up for that guy. I mean, if they're so good and they're around pick 20, that's where I could see you saying, okay, it doesn't have to be a guy that we had come here
mm-hmm.
because the talent is so overwhelming. That is the one out I would give them is if it's somebody that they look at and go, boy, we never thought they'd be here at 20. That's how I could see them going kind of with a departure of the way business has been done around here, in my opinion. We also have people texting in about Comfort television shows, because I said I'm a big fan of the show Friends, and I'm getting just excoriated for that on the text line.
Yeah, I did not know that about you.
Why are people crushing me for liking Friends? I don't get it.
I feel like it's a female show.
That's what people are implying.
It's more of a
show for ladies.
Rom-com.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of romance involved and drama, but it's also a funny show. Sometimes a low-hanging fruit funny show. You also get to, I don't want to be this guy. I have to defend myself, though. I get to look at Courtney Cox, Jennifer Aniston, and Lisa Kudrow the whole time. The whole time. So, yeah, maybe it's a show for the ladies, but it's also a show for me because, hello, Courtney Cox.
I mean, at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if you said you like Sex and the City as well. I know you've definitely watched it.
I have not only have I seen Sex in the City, I am pretty well schooled in Sex in the City.
Mm-hmm.
I also watched from start to finish the show Girls on HBO.
Yeah.
You ever watch that one?
No. Nope.
That's like, if in Friends they could show the drugs and the sex, that's basically what Girls is like, except not super funny. It was quite the whirlwind. Good show, though.
You were watching Friends and Sex in the City, and I was watching, what was the
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
No, the football show back in the day.
Yeah, I've never seen...
Inside the NFL?
I've never seen, like, Blue Mountain State or whatever it is. I've never seen... What are some famous football movies?
Oh, Any Given Sunday.
Never saw it.
The Program.
Never saw it.
Necessary Roughness.
Never saw it.
Little Giants, you've seen that.
I love that one.
I mean, there's a lot of good football movies.
I know. Football TV shows, football movies, I never saw. Like, what was...
Friday Night Lights?
Never saw Friday Night Lights. Neither the series or the movie. Swear to God. Yeah. It's too busy watching Friends and thinking about Lisa Kudrow. I know. And you could...
Varsity Blues?
Never saw it.
Get the heck out of here.
I swear to God. I could sit here and I could throw my wife under the bus and say, oh, she wanted to watch all these things. No, it was all me.
Yeah.
It was all me. She didn't even like Girls, but I watched it from start to finish. When I start something, I'm finishing it, Doran. I am. Once I get into something, I don't give up until I've seen the whole thing through.
You're trying to sit here and tell me you've never seen a football movie.
I've seen Little Giants.
That doesn't count.
I've seen Remember the Titans.
Okay.
I've seen Longest Yard, both the original and the Adam Sandler flick.
Okay.
We can do more of this later.
All right.
I love Matthew Perry, R.I.P. He's my guy.
R.I.P., yeah.
I've never related to a character more in my entire life than Chandler Bing. And maybe that's what this is all born from. Anyway, coming up next, Tyler Kennedy. Let's put a bow on this Penguins season. You see the Washington Capitals stinking it up in the playoffs. What would the Penguins be doing? What do they need to do to get back into a position where they can be playing playoff games next year. We'll talk to TK about that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
To the texter who says Crowley probably really liked Desperate Housewives. Yeah.
I watched that show.
Yeah.
My old girlfriend.
It was messed up. I can't even do the girlfriend thing. I just liked the show. Terry Hatcher, super hot.
Yes.
Liked her in Seinfeld. They're real and they're spectacular.
Yes, I've seen that episode. The sauna, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep.
And who's the one? Who's the one who married the NBA player,
Eva.
Tony Parker?
Eva Longoria.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a show for everybody. You can't shame me on that. Penguin season is over. We're joined now by Tyler Kennedy to put a bow on things in 1 minute. He's not ready just yet. Callis is trying to get him on that video stream thing, which is okay. I watched the Capitals play the Rangers the other day, and I'm happy you brought that up with Mackie. They suck. The Capitals are so bad, and the Penguins, they're a much better team, and yet the Penguins didn't make the playoffs. And you can almost point directly to the Jake Guentzel day. Jake Guentzel gets traded, the Penguins don't even show up, they lose 6-0 to Washington. You win that game, you're probably in the playoffs. All right, Tyler Kennedy joins us right now. Good morning, TK. How you doing, buddy?
Good, boys. Just dropped the daughter off at school. Going back home, get my coffee, and let's go.
Let's go. So I'm sure you've been watching a lot of Stanley Cup playoffs. If the Penguins did get in, they'd be giving the Rangers more of a run for their money than the Capitals did in game one, no?
I think it'd be pretty close. Like, the Rangers look pretty solid. I watched the first period of the first game, and you just knew that the Rangers were going to break through and just take over the game. They just have too many weapons for Washington. And Washington, when you look at their team, like, after like two or three big names, like, you're like, who are these guys? You know, but that's like, you know, that's the new age for the Penguins and Washington. Like, once you get past those top three guys, it's almost going to be like a new team of guys coming up and trying to prove themselves.
TK, if you're Kyle Dubas, what's your number one need you need to address this offseason?
Ooh, that's a good one, but you know, there's a lot. But I think for me, the biggest thing is probably the bottom six. I think the bottom six didn't produce enough. They didn't bring enough to each game to help the Penguins win games. I thought the goalies were good enough when you need them. Again, Jari, we were hard on Jari, but he was still pretty good. Ned was good when you need him. I don't have full confidence in them because of, you know, how they kind of end and how Jari didn't play at the end. But I think the bottom six would be one that I would really have to take on because, you know, the top two lines played well. Again, Sid had an unbelievable year. I thought his line was really clicking at the end. Finally, Gino was on fire at the end. And, you know, we were hard on Gino and saying, oh my God, like, is he falling off? Like, the guy still had 27 goals as a 37-year-old as your second-line center. Like, that's pretty good in my opinion. And then after that, like, we've had guys on the fourth line not have a goal. Literally not have a goal. Like, you can't have that.
Tristan Jarry had a goal, for God's sakes, TK.
Exactly. And, you know, again, a guy that we're losing, Jeff Carter, we're hard on him. Guy had 9 or 10 goals this year. Like, that's pretty good for your fourth line guy. So we're losing another guy who scored 10 goals. Like, we're going to have to try to find some young guys that can at least produce a little bit. You know, that'd be a big thing for me. And again, the power play is, who knows, you know.
I don't think they know. And so Kyle Dubas referenced in his postseason press conference that it's not a rebuild, it's a pivot. And he pointed back to the New York Rangers and how quickly they were able to get up and going again, and the Los Angeles Kings and how quickly they were able to get back up and going again. Is it possible for them to pivot in one offseason, TK, to become a true contender next year, or is it going to take a couple of off-seasons?
Yeah, but like when you see those teams, like, you know, the LA Kings, from their Stanley Cup team, they have two guys still, Kopitar and Doughty. We're hanging on to three guys, you know, and that makes it difficult. I think with the way the Penguins won now, they made trades to win now, and they didn't worry about the future, and that's what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with not having much in the farm team. You know, not too many guys are coming up, except, honestly, those two defensemen. I thought they played well enough to kind of fill in a spot next year. But after that, like, I don't see really good futures from draft picks, from picks. Like Kyle Dubas says, yeah, they're pivoting. He's got nothing. What else is he going to say? You know, like, I think he's put all the puzzles together, analyze his team, saying, okay, second year in a row, do we burn this thing down or do we try to keep it pieced together? And from my standpoint, like, I wouldn't care if they didn't make playoffs again if I felt in 3 or 4 years they were going to be a team that consistently makes playoffs. Like, I'd rather miss for a couple more years for them to rebuild, retool, to finally kind of get back into the playoff mix. Because right now, again, like, when you watch those teams out west, even, like, you know, Rangers, the Panthers, like, the Penguins are pretty far out from that kind of play right now.
TK, this was great, man. Appreciate you hopping on with us this morning.
Thanks, boys. Hope you're having a good day.
You too.
Thanks, TK.
TK going to get his cup of coffee.
Yeah. I would do that first.
I was going to say, if I didn't have my first cup of coffee until 8:42, I would be here physically, mentally, I'd be totally checked out.
Right.
Yeah. Coming up next, a trade yesterday in the NFL may affect what the Steelers do at 20 in the first round of the draft. And something happened after our show yesterday that made me feel like a man and then also emasculated me all at once. We'll tell you about that, too. But first, Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It is 8:43, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up in 10 minutes, we have a pony bomb. Andrew Filippone. Dropping a bomb.
Are we really doing this?
We saw the eye emojis the other day. Andrew Filippone ain't dropping eye emojis and then coming out with a report 2 days later if there's not something to it. So we're going to talk about it coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, we got to tell you about the Fan 5-Alarm Marathon. That's going to benefit volunteer fire departments. We're answering the call, Doran. We're going to broadcast live for over 26 hours. That's a marathon. As we raise funds to help these volunteers who serve and sacrifice for us, go to 93.7 The Fan for details on the event and to register your local VFD. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon is presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union and brought to you by 1-800-BOARD-UP and Hampton Beer Outlet. I asked yesterday for you to text in at 412-928-9370. The event's going to be awesome. We want to raise money for these volunteer fire departments even before the event. So if there's something cool you want us to do here at 93.7 The Fan, we'd love to take your submissions, your ideas. You can text us 412-928-9370. You can tweet me and Doran at @_AdamCrowley and @ScorinDoran. Now, yesterday after the show, Jen Halley, who's one of our wonderful salespeople, she brought in fire gear that was donated from a local fire department, and we put it on. And you looked super cool wearing your fireman outfit. I put it on, and for like 10 seconds, I felt super masculine. The equipment is so heavy. And then the sleeves went like a foot past my arms. Mm-hmm. And it was so heavy that I couldn't even imagine walking up a flight of stairs, right, let alone busting into a burning building to save lives. Those dudes are badass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
The helmet. You're used to the heavy helmet. Those helmets were heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you obviously don't want to get all burned up. So the gear, I mean, you're probably putting on 50, 60 pounds, at least, I would say, in just the clothing.
Right.
Before you even put on any of the other gear.
Yeah. You were swimming in it.
I was swimming in it. I thought to myself, the man who wore this, I'm happy that he never met my wife before I did, because I'd have no freaking shot. Just absolutely none.
He definitely wasn't watching Friends. I know that. That's what I do know.
You know, Phoebe Buffay in one of the episodes does date a fireman. Very good looking guy.
Mm.
I would say a New York 10, whereas I would be a New York 2.
Mm.
So text us, tweet us your ideas for ways that we can raise money. And hey, we're committed to doing anything and everything to help the local volunteer fire department. So we'll revisit this coming up at about 9:50 this morning. There was a trade made in the NFL yesterday, Doran. Zach Wilson goes from the New York Jets to the Denver Broncos, and this has led some people to ask, well, are they not going to take a quarterback at 12? I get why the question's asked, but come on. If adding Zach Wilson to your quarterback room means you're going to ignore it in the draft, if a player you like falls to you at 12, I think everybody within that organization, Sean Payton included, should be fired.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what are we doing there?
Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, I don't even know who the other guy is. I mean, those aren't starting caliber quarterbacks. They're probably going to take a quarterback.
I would think so.
Yes.
Now, if they don't, how would that affect the Steelers? We said it yesterday. The more quarterbacks that go before the Steelers pick, the better. If there's six, that's awesome, because then there's going to be one extra position player available to you at 20. Their needs don't match up necessarily with the Steelers. Like, so the Steelers, they need a corner. Pittsburgh does. I don't really think they're going to be in on a first-round corner. All the experts that we've had come on, and I know that they had, Cooper DeJean come in. So he's a guy that I omitted earlier when we were talking about the visits. Like, I just don't think they're taking a corner 20th overall. None of our experts have said that. It's all offensive line or maybe wide receiver. Denver needs quarterback, corner, tight end, wide receiver, center, offensive tackle, defensive tackle. But their first four needs, the Steelers probably aren't interested 20th overall.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this really, I don't think it affects their draft status at 20 all that much. The only way I could see it doing that is if Denver says, we're not going quarterback, we'll go with one of our other needs, and then a team after them and before the Steelers had that as a need, but no longer likes the players available to them, so then they go to another need, and maybe that could affect the Steelers.
I just don't see any scenario where the Denver Broncos don't take a quarterback. With six quarterbacks potentially being taken in the first round and you skip over, and then that means that they all have first-round evaluations, and you're going to go into the season with Zach Wilson.
Well, here's the other thing I saw, Doran. Oh, we know that Sean Payton's a great quarterback guru. And Sean Payton's going to get the absolute best out of Zach Wilson. Look, I ain't here for crowning Sean Payton this great quarterback guru. I mean, what has he really done? He wins one Super Bowl with the most accurate quarterback of all time in Drew Brees, and all of a sudden he's a quarterback guru?
Right.
So I guess Tomlin's a quarterback guru because he worked with Ben Roethlisberger
right.
for 17 years.
Exactly. And Belichick, too, because he had Brees.
Yeah, give me a break. He got a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees that fell into his lap because the Dolphins screwed everything up and they decided to go with an injured Dante Culpepper over him. But Drew Brees had a good enough year in San Diego before that. He was going to land somewhere and be a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I'm not here to tell you that Sean Payton doesn't have a good offensive system and he's not a smart offensive coach. But this idea that he's this quarterback whisperer, that because, oh, Sean Payton couldn't make it work with Russell Wilson must suck. Now, Sean Payton's overrated, always has been, went 7-9 three times with a Hall of Fame quarterback and only won one Super Bowl playing with that guy in a dome. Miss me with that.
I like it.
Didn't know that was going to come
out.
Wow,
fiery.
Man,
wow.
Going after Sean Payton. Who played him in the movie? Paul Blart, the mall cop?
Yeah, Kevin James.
Yeah, not a flattering choice, I wouldn't think, if I'm Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Coming up next, a pony bomb, and we react. But first, let me tell you about Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Today, high is 68.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.